You got your Bible this morning, open with me to Matthew chapter 16. And as you do, I'll tell you a quick story. As a middle school student, I was a Dory warrior. Anyone else? All right, I'm not the only one. There's a few of us in here, okay? Chelsea was a club bear cub, right? We were arch rivals, and this is just another instance where God can bring any two people together, right? But at Dory, favorite coach, Coach Pinkerton, I think I've mentioned him in here before, right? A coach, he made a lasting impact on my life, and in the off season, he was a football coach that was in charge of the weight room. And so to motivate us in the weight room, he had a couple of phrases. I haven't been much since I left eighth grade, by the way. But in the weight room, right, Coach Pinkerton would motivate us with a couple of sayings. The first was this: as we're in the weight room lifting weights, he would yell out a question, and then we'd have to respond in unison. He'd say, "Why are we working out?" And in unison, all the eighth grade guys would have to reply, "Beach muscles," right? That was his thing to get us ready for the summer. But then he would say something else. He would say, "If you're not getting stronger," and we'd have to reply out in unison, "You're getting weaker." Or, "If you're not getting stronger, you are getting weaker." And that was his goal, right? Was to motivate us to get stronger. He wanted us to understand that the muscles that God has given us in our body, they do not remain in neutral. He wanted us to know they were growing or they were shrinking. They were getting stronger or they were getting weaker. And with that in mind, his goal was to motivate us to work harder, to do what we knew we needed to do. And that concept, right, stronger and weaker, applies to so much in life, including the church family. And if you're new with us today, we've been walking through a short series where our goal has been to articulate our focus as a church, what we're about, what God has called us to, and we've summed it up in one statement that should be on the screen for you. Champion Forest, and now let's pause there, because when I say Champion Forest, I'm not talking about some abstract organization or some name on a door. When I say Champion Forest, I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me. I'm talking about this collective gathering of believers, right, that God has knit our hearts together as a church family. And when we gather, this is what we feel like God has called us to be about. Champion Forest advances the kingdom of God by making disciples, by loving our community, and by strengthening the church. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Great Commission, Matthew 28, and we talked about what it looks like for me and for you and for us as a church to make disciples. Last week, we talked about the Great Commandment in Matthew 22 and what it means for you and for me and for us as a church to love our community. And this morning, we're talking about what we're calling the Great Commitment, and that is the strengthening of the church. And yes, I mean Champion Forest. I love our local body of believers, what we're called to that. But I'm also talking about the Big C Church. And when people say Big C Church, they're talking about all churches of Jesus around the world, all believers around the world. And that's our heart, right? We want to help strengthen other churches as well so they can continue making disciples, so they can continue loving their community. And so this morning, as we talk about what it looks like and what it means for us to strengthen the church, think big, right? Think Champion Forest here and think church around the world that God has given us the opportunity to partner with as well. And if your Bibles are open to Matthew 16, we're starting here this morning because we need to see that at the very beginning of this conversation, we're talking about strengthening. We're not talking about building. Jesus has promised us that he would be the one that would build his church. Matthew 16, 13, look with me. In God's word, it says this: "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets.'" So Jesus makes a point here. He asks a question: what are the crowd saying about me? And it's clear from the response that the people in the crowd, they knew that Jesus was not just an ordinary man. They knew from the miracles and the teaching and the authority there was something more. But they weren't quite at a place where they understood everything about who Jesus was yet. And so Jesus asked the disciples the same question. Look at verse 15. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied with what has to be the statement of the Bible. He says this. He says, "You are the Christ. You, Jesus, are the Son of the living God." Now, for me and you, living on this side of history, think about what we've got. We have not only the Old Testament, we have the New Testament in our hands. Right? We know about Jesus. We know the story. We know the cross. We know Easter. We know the resurrection, the ascension. We know all that. We can see all that. We've got the advantage of the full picture here, right? But Peter, without the knowledge of the cross, without the empty tomb, without Easter Sunday morning, without Jesus' ascension back up into heaven, without the New Testament church and all of that, Peter was still able to look at Jesus because of the work of God in his heart. Because of his sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, he was able to look at Jesus and say, listen, you're the one that God's been promising. You are the one that God is sending to be Savior of the world. Jesus, you are the one that fulfills all of the promises of God that God's been making from the very beginning of time. And look what Jesus says in response to Peter's faithfulness and his statement of truth. He says this, blessed are you. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here we see very clearly, Jesus promises to build the church. Jesus promises to build the church, and nothing can prevail against it. Not death, not hell, not evil, not the grave, nothing can prevail against the church of Jesus. That should encourage us, right? It should strengthen our hearts, but it should embolden us to move forward to strengthen the church that he is building. And that's the deal. It's part of the church. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you are part of his church, right? We have this unbelievable privilege to be a part of strengthening the church he's building. And so as we consider this focus statement of strengthening the church, here's the driving question behind it that we get to answer individually and collectively. And it's simply this. How are we stewarding the gifting, the resources, and the influence that God has graciously given us? Keep that on the screen, guys. And just everybody, just let your mind process. Consider what that looks like in your life with what God has entrusted to you. And as we break this down this morning, know we're going to consider this in two ways, each one of us individually, because that's what God's called us to. And then as a church family gathered together, because that's what God has called our church family to as well. As you consider what that looks like, know that Jesus talks about this in great detail. If your Bible's still open to Matthew 16, move forward a few chapters to Matthew chapter 25. Jesus tells a story, a parable, to help us understand how we're to use the giftings and resources that he has so graciously given to us. In Matthew 25, it says this. It's like a man going on a journey. This is Jesus talking, who called his servants. And he entrusted to his servants, that word is key, he entrusts to his servants his property. To one he gives 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, and to another one he gave 1 talent, each one according to his own ability. And then the master goes away. Look at verse 16. The person with 5 talents entrusted to him realized he had an opportunity. So he took those 5 talents, he put them to work, he used them, he invested them, and he made 5 more. Well, the one with 2 talents, he did the same thing. He used them. He invested them. He made much of his opportunity, and he made 2 more. The person that was entrusted with 1 talent, he wasted his opportunity. If you read the text, it says that he took that 1 talent, he dug a hole, and he buried it in the ground. He did nothing with the opportunity that was given to him. All right, he missed the moment. And then what happens, right? The master comes back. And they give an account for what they've done with what he had entrusted them. The one that had the 5 talents, he comes up to the master and says, hey, listen, you gave me 5, and I put them to work, and I made 5 more, and I'm going to give it all back to you in this moment. And if you look at what the master says to him. The master says, well done, good and faithful servant, well done. You've done what I've asked you to do. You've taken advantage of the opportunity that you've had. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The same thing happened with the one that had 2 talents and brought 4 talents back to him. And listen, I want you to notice for the 5 talents and the 2 talent, the people that put the opportunity to work, the master joyfully said, well done to both of them. And here's what we learn, the lesson behind that. It's not about the amount. It's not about the amount. It's about faithfulness. using what has been entrusted to us for the glory of God the Father. But we see there was one that did not use the opportunity. Look at verse 24. He says, Master, listen, I didn't do anything with it. I buried it in the ground. Here's the one you gave me. I'm giving it back to you. Missed the moment. Missed the opportunity to do something with what he had been given. What does the master say? He calls him wicked and lazy, and he casts him out. Right? He's not a part of the family anymore. Well, let's make sure that we understand what's going on here. We're not talking about like $5 and $10 and $1. We're talking about significant resources. A lot of scholars think that a talent could have been worth as much as $100,000 or more in today's money. We're looking at significant resources. Notice what Jesus is saying here. Jesus, as our master, he has given us much. He has blessed us with much. He has entrusted us with much. And as his children, that's me and you, as the church, we are responsible now for wisely stewarding what God has entrusted to us. What we know, we see here, it's not about the bottom line. This is about the relationship we have with the Father. Right? The first two that used what was entrusted to them wisely, think about this. They anticipated the return of their master. They knew there was going to be a return. They knew there was going to be a conversation. They knew that they were going to get to excitedly share what they had done with what they had been given. And you see the master's response. There's love and joy from both sides there. This is a love-based, joy-filled relationship that you and I should be in with our Heavenly Father. Listen, the last time that Chelsea went away with some of her friends, right, for a girls' weekend or a girls' night away, I didn't get so busy on what I was doing or what the kids were doing that I forgot about her. Listen, I knew that she was coming back. I was excited for her to come back. I needed for her to come back, right? There's a love-based, joy-filled relationship there. I couldn't wait for her to get back. And listen, I did all that I could to make sure that things were great for her. I didn't want her coming home to dirty dishes. I didn't want her coming home to piles of laundry and a trashed house everywhere. Listen, I wanted to live when she got home, okay? But more than that, I wanted to use the time that I had. I wanted to use the opportunity that I had to be a blessing to her, knowing that she was coming back, not out of duty, not out of obligation, but out of love. Listen to the words of Jesus here and know, as followers of Jesus, we're not just hanging out here till the end. As followers of Jesus, we're not just killing time waiting for a moment where we're going to be face to face with him, either because he comes back or because our life on this earth is done. That's not what we're doing here. We are loved children of God, who should be doing, because of the relationship that we have with him, who should be doing all that we can with all that our Father has entrusted to us until he calls us home. Listen, my prayer for my family and my prayer for your family is that, like we see in Matthew 25, is that we would be commended for what we've done with what God has entrusted us. And as we think about what that looks like, right, just take inventory. Right? What has God entrusted to you? And that's a big statement. It can be an overwhelming statement to begin to think through. So a lot of times people break that down into three major categories of what God has entrusted to them. People think about their time. They think about their gift mix, and we call that their talents. And then they think about their stuff, their finances. And to make it an official sermon, we'll call that treasure, the three T's, time, talent, and treasure, right? And that question remains. What are we doing with what we've been given to glorify God? Let's start with time. The question is, are you using your time for the glory of God? Several men in our life group got together for Bible study and accountability Tuesday night after the kiddos went to bed, and one of the guys said something that's been rolling around in my head ever since we met together. He said, time is our most valuable resource. Think about that. He's right. There's ways to make more money. There's ways to gain more influence. But no matter what, we cannot extend the clock. Scripture says that God has numbered our days. We cannot extend the number of days that God has set before us. And listen, inside the number of days he's given us, every season of life, there's a window on it. And eventually that window closes and we move on to the next season of life. The question for us is, are we using the time? Are we using the windows we have to glorify God? The early church did. They modeled that for us incredibly well. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14, it says this, "When the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John." Here's what's going on. The gospel moved, its first major jump of believers from Jerusalem to the city of Samaria. And as word spread back to the Christians, to the church in Jerusalem, they said, "We need to strengthen the church in Samaria. We need to help the people there." So they invested time by sending Peter and John to invest in them. Think about that. It's not a Zoom call for them back then. Right, Peter and John aren't saying, "Hey, mute your microphone, unmute your microphone." They don't have people in the group. This is person-to-person kind of stuff. They walked, they gave their time. They stayed weeks and months on end. They gave their time to ensure that new believers knew what it meant to love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. To ensure that new believers knew what it meant to make disciples, to love their neighbors. Listen, that's what Peter and John were doing. They were making disciples, strengthening the church in Samaria. It wasn't their home church. Right, they're connected to a group of believers in Jerusalem, strengthening the church now in Samaria. And based on what Jesus says in Matthew 25, I think that Jesus would look at them and say, "Time well spent. Way to invest the window of time, the season of life that I gave you right there." What about us? We using that time wisely? You don't get extra. Right, you don't get to extend it. We've got this window. Ensure that you're spending time with God, using that to invest in your own personal walk with him. Ensure that you're spending time with others, making disciples, doing what Jesus has called all of us to do. If you'd say you're too busy to spend time with the Father, or you're too busy to invest in others, making disciples, let me just tell you that you are too busy. If we're too busy to do what God's called us to do, our priorities are way, way out of whack. Use the time that we have to do what God has called us to do. Use your time to serve others. Peter and John did. Well, last weekend, we had over 100 adult and college leaders using their time, right? Investing it into our student ministry over the course of Freedom Weekend. They invested their time. What did God do? 64 students trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Many more grew in their love relationship with him. An incredible investment of their time to strengthen the church, right? To make disciples. That's what they did. Next weekend, on Saturday, actually, we're going to do the same thing in our kids' ministry. Right? People are going to invest in these kiddos to raise them up to love Jesus. But listen, when we talk about using our time for the glory of God, we're not just talking about on these walls, right? Think bigger. Think beyond these walls, right? Think about where God sends you each and every day. Think about your time at work, right? The window closes at some point. The people that you're around, students, pretty soon, right? Summer's going to hit. Saying thank God for summer break. I know my kids are looking forward to it already, but listen, think about it like this. The end of May, a window's going to close in your life. Never going to be in those classes again. Never going to be surrounded by that specific group of students and that way ever again. What are you doing with the window that God has given you? All of us live next to people. We don't know for how much longer that could move. We could move. Things could change. What are we doing with the window that we have where we live? Right, back to the story that Jesus tells us. Are you investing your time that has been entrusted to you, that has been entrusted to me? Are we investing it with eternity in mind? Use the window to glorify God, right? Look, think about how this looks for us as a church family as well, right? Every year we send hundreds of people from our church on dozens of mission trips around the United States and around the world. Why? To strengthen the church. We've got a mission trip this April heading out to New Orleans. You can get information about it at the missions booth out there on your way out. That and the dozens of other mission trips that we've got. Why? Well, Peter and John, they left Jerusalem. They went to Samaria. They invested in the church. They strengthened the Big C global church around the world. Listen, we want to do that. We have the time and the resources available to make that happen. So as we go to these churches, as we go on these trips, these aren't sightseeing trips. These are ways for us to partner with local churches that need people like me and you to come inside to help build them up and strengthen the people that are there in that city. And listen, we don't want to just invest our time in churches around the world. We want to invest invest our time in other local churches right here in our community. 2 weeks ago, this campus was filled with the staff of Woods Edge Church, right up Gosling, a partner church, a neighbor church with us. They were in here praying and planning and looking to the future. We were able to invest in them to strengthen their church. Why? We're on the same team. The Big C Church doing what God has called us to do. Are we using our time for the glory of God to make disciples and to strengthen His church? The same question holds true with our talent. Are you using your talents for the glory of God? Think about it in two ways. You have natural gifts and talents and abilities. You were born with them. You're just good at some things. And then think about spiritual gifts. When you trusted Christ as Savior and the Holy Spirit took up residence in your heart, He gifted you in a completely new and different way, all for the glory of God. And the question is, what are you doing with those gifts? Where are you taking those talents? Where are you investing them? When I say the phrase, where are you taking your talents, I think of LeBron James. Anyone else taking my talents to Miami? Sorry, chasing a rabbit there, right? Think about a man named Barnabas in the Bible. Acts 11, we're still looking at the early church and how they modeled this for us. Think about Barnabas. What did he do? He was an incredibly talented man, incredibly talented. All through the New Testament, we see he had people skills unlike any other. He's called the encourager, and he used his talents for the glory of God. In Acts 11, what do they do? The church in Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas to Antioch to strengthen the church in another city, to look at another church and see where the talents of Barnabas can be used, and that they put him there. Why? There were cultural issues at play there. There were sensitive issues at play in that city. And if they weren't dealt with skillfully by a man with the talents like Barnabas, it would have been a disaster. The church would have split. People's hearts would have been hardened to the gospel, hardened to the church. The church split would have given a terrible example to the gospel in the city of Antioch. And so the talents of Barnabas were sent in. Acts 11, report came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas. What did he do? He encouraged people. He brought unity. He pushed them to a deeper love, a deeper knowledge of Jesus. God had given him this incredible talent of working with people, and he used it to strengthen the church. And if you look around the room, you know that God is creative. You know that God has uniquely gifted every person in this room for something. Maybe you're like Barnabas. Maybe you're great with people. Maybe you're an encourager. You make people feel loved and welcomed and safe and a friend. Maybe that's just your gift mix. Use that talent for the glory of God. Maybe it's in business. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're great at school. I mean, God's uniquely gifted us and positioned us all over the place to strengthen His church here, but not just His church here, but His church ultimately around the world. But whatever your talent is, use it ultimately for the glory of God. It's been entrusted to you. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I don't have any talent. If you're thinking here this morning, I don't know what my gifts are. Let me just tell you that you are uniquely gifted by God for something. And it's possible you might not even know what it is until you jump in and begin trying stuff out. There's a guy that's a friend of mine. Some of you know him. His name's Rick Ikema. And Rick Ikema is an incredible guy, and he would always go on our student ministry mission trips, and he would lead teams of students all over the U.S. and sometimes outside the U.S. as well. And he was a manly man, right? He's a Navy guy. He's a construction and sports, and that's what he did. But he was always willing to do whatever, like this manly man. And so at this one point, we're heading out on a mission trip, and we always had this team of students that they were, it was the singing and the drama and the theater arts kind of stuff. And God used this team all the time, all across the United States. And we saw a lot of people trust Christ as a result of it. And one of the things they did was a puppet show, okay? Now, the person that led the puppet show had to bail out of the mission trip. And so I take this Navy guy to lunch, and I sit down with him, and I say, hey, listen, we've got a real need here this year. I don't need you doing construction. I don't need you running a football camp. I need you to lead a puppet show. That was his response, too. He laughed at me. But you know what? He didn't say, no way. He said, if that's the need, I'm going to jump in and do what God needs me to do here. And I promise you this. You have never seen a better puppet show than that one led by that U.S. Navy sailor. It was unbelievable. And at the end of the trip, he came back and said, I don't care if the other leaders are coming back or not. The puppet team is mine now. Right from here forth, I'm on the puppet team. Listen. He had no idea he had that talent. None of us did. we were all a little worried about it. He jumped in. He didn't say no. He didn't say, that's not my lane. He said, there's a need there. I'm going to jump in and do it. And in doing that, in his obedience, God revealed to him something he didn't even know about himself. God used that talent to strengthen the church across the United States, dozens of cities, right, where people got saved, where people were connected to the church, because he was willing to do what God called him to do, to use his talents to make disciples and ultimately to glorify God. What are you doing with the talents and gifts that God has entrusted you? Listen, this is how it looks for us as a church, that there's so many different unique ways where God sends us out, and then so many unique ways where God uses these collective gifts to strengthen the global church as well. Our residency program is a great example of that, right? We've got a couple dozen residents here at our church, and they are strengthening our local body in profound ways. We've got Ryan and Carolina with our students. We've got Rachel that are in our kids' ministry, and they are making us better and stronger as a church as we seek to make disciples and love our community. But a lot of our residents are going to be sent out from here. When their time is done, we're going to pair them with churches all around the United States. And think about 20 years worth of residents, that maybe 500 churches, local churches impacted by the talents of these kiddos, hundreds of thousands of people impacted by the gospel as we band together, right, use our talents to strengthen the church here and the church globally. And then finally, right, God, we know God's given us time. We're still here, right? We know that he's entrusted us with unique talents and skills and abilities. But ultimately, we also know that God's trusted us with stuff, with treasure. The question is, are you using your treasure? Are you using your money and your finances for the glory of God? And listen, just like the story in Matthew 25, what we know, we all have varying amounts of money, but the amount doesn't matter. We are called to honor God with what we have been entrusted. Maybe it's a little, maybe it's a lot. We need to understand that God is concerned with our heart here. And again, the New Testament, when we look at the first church, the early church, we see them modeling that for us. Time and time again in the New Testament, we see that believers gave to the Lord through the church. We see the church using those gifts to meet needs and to strengthen other churches. Listen to this. You might not have known that every letter that Paul wrote on his last missionary journey, he asked churches in some regions of the world to give generously to bless churches in other regions of the world where there were extreme times of need. One of those asks is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. He's driving it home. He says, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We see that in Matthew 25 too. There's this joy-filled relationship between us and our Heavenly Father, right? So think this morning about the financial resources that God has entrusted to you. Are you investing those? Are you giving those generously for the glory of God? And if you're feeling a little uncomfortable right now, just know, listen, sometimes it's easy for people to give their time. Sometimes it's easy to give your talents or your gifts, but sometimes we hold the treasure a little bit tighter. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you. Look to the words of Jesus in Matthew 25. Ask him to help you in your heart and in your mind understand and know that what we have, what all of us have, has been entrusted to us for a season from our Heavenly Father. Ask him to help you to use it in a way that honors him. Ensure that you are giving generously to meet the needs of others. Ensure that you are giving generously to advance the kingdom of God. You use what he's given you to be a blessing to the people around you. Ask him to help you remember. All that you have, all that I have, all that we have has been entrusted to us for a season, and it's our responsibility to steward it in a way that brings glory to the Father. It's Super Bowl Sunday, right? Some of you said you're cheering for the Chiefs. Some of you said when Lewis asked, you're cheering for the Eagles. But I know in your heart that most of you are in it for the commercials and the food, right? Let's be real, okay? The commercials and the food. But here's the deal. We're going to watch these games, And one of the things they always talk about in the games is they talk about the athletes, they talk about their money, right? The amount of money that these guys make. And if you follow this closely, you know that oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes, that money is not stewarded in a wise manner. It's not stewarded in a way that glorifies God, that strengthens the church, that makes disciples, that loves the community. It's just not. A lot of times it's wasted. There's a guy, I won't say his name, if you follow sports you might know, he's bankrupt now, but one of the things that he did with his money, he built a house with three massive shark tanks inside it, right? Real live sharks, and he squandered everything that he had been entrusted over his years as a professional athlete. There's another guy, a football player, he's always talked about around the Super Bowl. His name's Warrick Dunn. And if you know his story, you know it's different. You know that he used what was entrusted to him to meet needs to advance the kingdom for the glory of God. He's most well known for using what God has given him to build 173 homes. No shark tanks in these homes. But he gave them away, all of them. He gave them away to single moms and to single dads that were in need, that were unable to put a roof over the head of their kids. What did he do? He understood that Jesus says it in Luke chapter 12. He understood the words of Jesus. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. He wanted to be able to stand before the Lord one day and said, look what I've done with what you've given me. Look at how I invested it for the sake of the kingdom. Look at how I invested it for the sake of others, to meet needs, to make disciples, ultimately to love my community. Listen, we're in an exciting season here at our church, Champion Forest, and specifically at our campus, North Klein. We baptized more people last year than we ever have before as a church. We were on pace to be ahead of that this year. Listen, God's moving. People are getting saved. People are trusting in Him. Marriages are being transformed. The community that God's forming here is a really, really sweet and special thing. So I just want you to know that as we give, I mean, God is using those gifts to make an impact for Him and to strengthen the church here. But remember, we're talking about that big C church around the world. And much of what we give is given from here to those churches around the world that need it. You read about the earthquake in Turkey, I'm sure, right? Tragic. Continue to pray for the people there. Continue to pray for the churches there. In the hours after the earthquake, one of the ministries that we partner with was on the ground, meeting needs, providing food, providing water, providing shelter, providing medical care, right, to the churches that were there, to strengthen those churches and to send those churches out into the city, equipped and ready to do the same thing there as well. Listen, we're able to use the resources that God has given us to make an impact here and around the world, just like we see those churches doing in 2 Corinthians, meeting needs far outside of where God has placed them, right? That's the picture of the New Testament church. They used what God had entrusted them. They used their time. They used their gifts. And they used their finances, just like Jesus talks about in Matthew 25. They understood that they had what they had. It had been entrusted to them for a season, and they did their best to strengthen the church and make disciples with it, to advance the kingdom of God, all for the glory of our Heavenly Father. And listen, as a church family, that's our heart, right? We want to strengthen the church that Jesus is building. And as we do that, as we strengthen the church, we advance the kingdom of God in a world that needs Jesus. And I want you to see how all three of these focus statements that we've gone over are tied together. As we strengthen the church with our time, talent, and treasure, what happens? Well, disciples are made. And if we're discipling them well to do what Jesus has called us to do, what are they going to do? They're going to ultimately love their neighbor. And the church is going to be strengthened around the world, and all of this builds on itself. The church grows stronger. Why? All for the glory of God. And so back to our driving question this morning, and you're the only one that can answer this for yourself. Are you stewarding your giftings, your resources, and your influence for the glory of God, to make disciples, to strengthen the body of Christ? We've got a short window in this life, right? Seems like it goes faster and faster. And at the end, I want us to be able to stand before God excited to show Him how we've used what He entrusted us to honor Him and to advance His kingdom. Would you pray with me this morning? And as your heads are bowed, just want to take a minute and just get alone with the Father and ask that question of yourself, of evaluate yourself personally and honestly. right? Are you holding on to what has been entrusted you really tight? Or are you holding close your time and your talent and your treasure? Or are you holding it loosely, investing it for the kingdom of God? Listen, we don't get to pick and choose what we'll give and what we won't give. Man, our goal, our heart, is to use all that God has given us, to be all in for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Ask him this morning to help you follow his example and to live out his words. The thing about our church family, right, as you're praying that for yourself, pray that for our church family, that we would continue to look to be good stewards of the resources that God has given us, to strengthen churches around our city, to strengthen churches around the world, all with the goal of seeing them make disciples, all with the goal of seeing them love their neighbor so that more people can trust in Jesus as Savior. Let that be our prayer today. But maybe this morning you're sitting in here and you're thinking, you know what, I need to start with myself. Maybe you're thinking, I can't strengthen anyone else. I can't help anyone else grow in their walk with Christ. I can't give anything to the Father until I've given myself to him. Maybe this morning your cry is, I just need to trust Jesus as my Savior. And if that's the case, don't leave here today without trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When we dismiss in a moment, our connection room is going to be open every week. People talk to us about what it means to trust Christ as Savior. Every week, people ask us spiritual questions, and they ask about their next step in their faith journey. If you need to trust Christ or you're wondering your next step, maybe it's baptism, maybe it's a life group, maybe it's to become a member of our church family, don't leave today without stopping in to talk with us about what God is doing in your heart. Or this morning, maybe you're hurting and you just need somebody to invest in you. Maybe you need someone to pray over you. If that's the case, don't leave here today without taking that opportunity to stop in that connection room and let someone pray over you. Father, we're grateful for the way that you love us. We're grateful for the way that you take care of us. And God, this morning, our heart is to use all that you have entrusted to us. God, realizing that it's not ours, realizing that it's yours, and that one day, we're going to give an account for how we've invested it for the sake of your kingdom. God, let our hearts beat for you. Let our lives point to you. God, in all that we have, God, let us honor you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.